And John, Kaylee, Riley, Kaylee, and Ethan, family, friends, and members of Trinity. The text for today, this Confirmation Sunday, comes to you from Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 14. And the words say this. Paul writes, inspired by God, "Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I suffer the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his suffering, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So far the reading. Well, here we are, Confirmation Day. This is my last chance to share the Word of God with you in this very special way. And many who have gathered here today, whether it be parents, adults, other members, are thinking, wow, this is a great day of accomplishment for Gage and for John and for Kaylee and Riley and Kaylee and Ethan. And you might be thinking that same thing as well. This is a great accomplishment. After all, you've worked very hard these past 2 years. You passed Bible trivia, even though it took a while for some of you. We studied the catechism together. We've answered questions. We passed some of those tests that we took. And you've done almost everything that I've asked of you. And by this time, you're probably sitting there feeling pretty proud of yourself. I made it. But what does all this mean for you now? Have these accomplishments earned you the right to be confirmed and receive Holy Communion? In a sense, they have. Have they made you an official member of the church? Yes, they have. Has it secured a place for you in heaven? Well, that remains to be seen, as it is for all of us. How much confidence should you have in what you have accomplished? Is there anything, if you're anything like the Apostle Paul in that reading, you're in for somewhat of a surprise. For the Apostle Paul, as great as he was, is a lot like all six of you. He said, "If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more." And then he lists his accomplishments. Well, he was circumcised on the eighth day, just like all of you have been baptized. He was a purebred Israelite, just like you are, as I hope and pray, solid Christians. He has studied the scriptures diligently, and he became a Pharisee, just like you have been able to study those scriptures diligently, and you are being confirmed today. He was very zealous to have the right answers to do away with the wrong answers, just like you are. In fact, Paul was so eager to be right that he began persecuting the Christian church. Why? Because he thought they were wrong. Turns out, Paul was wrong. He always tried to do the right and to obey the law of God, just like you are going to try to do, I hope, all the right things in your lives here to come. So yes, you do know what Paul says when evaluating all his accomplishment. And he had something different to say about all of his accomplishments. He counts all of these good things as a loss, and he considers them of no value. In fact, he called them in the passage rubbish. Why? Why such hard words? Well, he realizes, as I hope you realize, you can't put all your hope and your own accomplishments, because that draws your attention away from Jesus Christ and puts it onto you guys. He also realized that as good as things are, they can never be good enough to establish or have or maintain a relationship with God. And it's the same for you guys sitting here today, just as it is for all of us who have gathered here today, as me as well. Because when we look at our own religious accomplishments, and some of you probably have some great ones, and you take confidence in them as a way to be right with God, then you're in trouble. Because the attention gets focused on us, and it gets taken away from our Lord Jesus Christ. And Confirmation Day is what I consider a prime example of this. For you six, there's a lot of attention paid to you today already. Wow. Pictures are taken. Got to give your speeches. You got received applause for those. Okay, there's going to be more attention for you after church with the reception to follow. And then some of you are going to get cards and you get gifts and you're going to go out to dinner and you're going to have parties. All of those great and wonderful things. And not only are these things good, even though they take away from some of the focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, they may also give you an idea that you've accomplished something with regard to your own relationship with God. You know, we spent time studying out of Luther's catechism these last 2 years. And sometimes we think, well, since I've done that study, I've gained a real close relationship with the Lord. And in some cases that happens, and it is good. And yet, that relationship needs to be strengthened. Because it's no secret that none of us, and I include all of us gathered here today, none of us are good enough or faithful enough to merit that relationship with God. It's not about us. One of you mentioned the Ten Commandments, right, John? Well, in those Ten Commandments, God's standards are much higher than just being good and faithful. The Lord says in Leviticus chapter 19, "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." Jesus said the same thing in Matthew, "Be perfect, therefore." Why? Because your Father in heaven is perfect. In other words, God doesn't grade us on the curve. He requires perfection. And I'm sorry to say, but none of you were perfect in your classwork. Right? No. Much less will you be that way in your own life. The truth is that no one is that way. The scriptures tell us in Romans chapter 3, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does no good or does good, not even one. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, fortunately, that's not the end of the sermon, because that sounds pretty grim when we hear those words. But Paul didn't think so, because he said he counted all his accomplishments as a disadvantage and all of his achievements as rubbish, because he had received something far better. And that something far better for us is the value of knowing Christ's achievements. Namely, being found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. And so for you six today, Gage and John and Kaylee and Riley and Kaylee and Ethan, you're here today, in fact, all of us are here, not because of who we are or anything that we have accomplished. We're here because of the great things that our Lord Jesus has accomplished for us. It's a great gift. We don't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But God and Christ Jesus gives it to us. We're connected to Him and everything that He has accomplished. That means that we have righteousness. We have that right standing with God right now because of what Christ has done. It's not something that we have earned. It's a righteousness that comes through faith in Christ Jesus. And we have that righteousness today. That righteousness is covering you, just like those white robes that you're wearing today are covering you. Because he is perfect. And because of His perfect obedience to God on our behalf, God declares us not guilty. Not guilty of any sins. All the wrongs which we have done and all the good that we have failed to do, both in our thoughts and in our words and in our deeds, because of Christ's sacrifice and His perfect life on that and His life given on that cross, we have a new life now. And all of you have been covered by that new righteousness. And all of this is because of Jesus' accomplishments, nothing that we have accomplished. You spent the last 2 years obtaining these things, but you've learned more about and you've been strengthened, hopefully, in your faith. And today, you're going to have the wonderful opportunity to confess that faith before God and before your parents and before the members of this congregation. You will face in your lives great pressure because of that. There's going to be pressure on you guys to deny your faith, to compromise your faith in the years to come. You're going to experience great demands. Some will ask you to abandon that faith. Some of people will ask you to fit into the world. And as we know, the world is not right. It is very difficult, and it will be difficult for you. But none of this should surprise any of us that are gathered here today, because it's exactly what Paul himself experienced. He talks about sharing in the sufferings of Christ. And that's what temptations are. That's what the pressures that you will face in the weeks and years to come really are. They're the same sufferings which Christ himself even endured. He was tempted to deny his confession, and he was pressured to abandon his mission, but we know the Lord didn't do that. He goes with us all the way now, and we don't have to abandon our missions either. How do we do that? Paul is very humble about it. He realizes his weaknesses, and he recognizes that the Christian faith is not a day-long celebration, but it is a lifelong journey for each one of you. He describes it this way: now that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting all that lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I will press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. These are the same words, my dear confirmand friends, that I encourage you with today. Not only you, but all of us who have gathered here today. For Christ has made you his own through your holy baptisms. Now all of us, including you confirmands, we are pressing on to claim that has already been given to us. It's like the picture of a foot race. Okay? The athletes train for that race. They train many years to be in shape. And finally, they have the opportunity to run that race. And they cannot afford to be weakened so that they are going to collapse. And so what do? During that race? They continually receive fluids to strengthen them. They can't be distracted by looking backwards behind them. They're always looking forwards. Where? Of course, to the finish line. They can't look off to the side either to see what's going on. They forget what's behind them and they train for what lies ahead, always keeping their eyes on the finish line. And so, for you guys, you're entering another lap of that race. The race many of us have been running for many years. You are going to enter this race, and you entered it at the time of your baptism. You've been in special training now for the past 2 years. And now you're going on running in that race. Don't allow yourselves to be weakened so that you collapse or you lose the race. My encouragement today is as you come, again, celebrating the Lord's Supper, come whenever that is offered and be nourished by His body and blood in Holy Communion. Why? Because that strengthens you. That strengthens and renews your faith, and especially in the forgiveness of your sins. Don't be distracted by the culture that we live in, or the philosophies that are out there, or the morality of this world which seeks to get you off course, and then you lose the race. I encourage you to continue in the Word of God, which you have been studying these past 2 years, so that you can clearly see the race course and not be deceived in following another path. And keep this in mind. You're not going to be alone either. Continue to be in worship regularly with your fellow runners who are running that same race toward the same goal for the same prize, so that we and you can encourage one another in your Christian faith, that you can be strengthened. The book of Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And so here we are, Confirmation Day, a great day of accomplishment. But I want you to see what God has accomplished in you. He's made all of you His own in holy baptism. He's washed away all your sins, and He has joined you to Christ Jesus. He's given you faith to receive the blessings of forgiveness and life and salvation. And He has prepared you through the study of His Word to confess your faith in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the one who's going to enable you today to make those vows in just a few moments and to keep those vows of discipleship. And so this is a day for you to celebrate and for us to celebrate with you all that God has accomplished in you and will continue to accomplish throughout your journey in this life. And it is for Him and it is in His Word that your confidence exists. And that's where your confidence lies this day, my dear friends, my dear confirmant friends. May God bless you and continue to grow in your faith and in His Word. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. And the children of God said, Amen. And so now let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. In His name, Amen.